Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you. Maryland, along with my big sister, Sheila G. How you doing, Sheila G?
I'm blessed and highly favored.
I know that's right. And my good friend and mentor and our biblical expert, Dr. G. How you doing, Dr. G?
Doing well.
Praise the Lord. I thank God that he allowed us to make it to another day.
Amen.
Amen. And, today it didn't snow or blizzard.
Hallelujah.
I'd like to give a big shout out to everyone that helped everyone get through the snow, the storm, and the rain. It has definitely been a challenging winter, but we thank God that his grace and his mercy has brought us through.
Yes.
And good to be back in Bible study tonight. I know everyone's been trying to tune in, but we just wanted to be safe and make sure everyone was able to get back without any hurt, harm, or danger. So we're back on the line, and we're excited about the book of Philippians. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we bow and thank you, God, for another privilege, another opportunity to come together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, God, that we can be workmen and women that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share with others, and that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And so, Sheila G., we're talking about the Apostle Paul and how he is talking to the church at Philippi, who basically had a great relationship with Paul, that during his prison ministry or his time in prison, he was ministering to him. And, we're going to be looking at chapter 2. We're going to be looking at some of the helpers that Paul had. And Dr. G, you can help me out here. It's important that when you're in ministry, that people understand that those people that are in leadership, they need helpers. They need people to come alongside and assist, and that you can't do it all by yourself, and that you need helpers. And there has to be an understanding that everyone has to work together and everyone has to play their role. And so Paul, in this letter, in the second chapter, he's recognizing Timothy and Epaphroditus as ones who labored with him. It was really, really interesting that almost to the point where they were sick, to the point where they were ill in their ministry. And, a lot of times I call it the faithful few, Sheila G.
Yeah.
That we wear out the faithful few,
yeah.
and the rest of the people that are getting blessed by ministry seem like their effort to help in ministry is waning.
Amen, amen. They're just going to ride on the coattails of others. It's like, I want to receive your blessing. You know, Dad and I were just sharing not too long ago that everybody wants to get to heaven, but nobody wants to die. And it's the same thing. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but they don't want to be obedient to what the Lord tells us to do in order to get there.
And Dr. G, it takes a lot of energy, it takes a lot of effort to go in prayer and into contact with the Lord to receive direction to minister. And a lot of times when you are in that position, you need people to come along and help and be able to take care of some of the other details.
Amen.
So that you can go before the Lord, get that clear direction. And I think sometimes the people, the helpers that come along, I don't think they understand that the more help that they give the ministry leader, the better they'll be served.
Right.
Because
Amen.
You don't have the extenuating circumstances and things that you have to take care of in addition to mm-hmm. going before the Lord.
That's right. You're right. And some people, when they start out, that the average person doesn't understand that for the leader himself or herself, there's a lot to be done. And it takes a lot of energy. Understanding, leader for the leader, it's an awesome responsibility. So you do need good folks,
right.
who are going to help,
right.
not hinder
right.
what you're trying to do.
Right. And so, you know, in this, you know, Paul wants to make it clear that you know, he's not complaining. He's rejoicing. He's not
mm-hmm.
complaining about ministry. He's rejoicing in providing ministry. But then he goes on to give examples, and we'll see that, of people that have come alongside and helped him. And so we finish off chapter 2, verse 17. It says, yea, and I, if I be offered, let me go back to chapter 2, verse 16. He says, holding the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. In other words, Paul wanted them to act in a way that demonstrated that his ministry to them wasn't in vain. And then he goes on to say in verse 78, and if I be offered upon a sacrifice and sacrifice of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause do ye joy and rejoice with me. So he said, let this thing be a collaborative thing, that we have a joyful working relationship, that your labor and my labor is not in vain, but we willingly sacrifice in the work of the ministry so that each other can experience the joy of the Lord. And that's such key into fellowships of churches or any organization, is that people have to work together in a way that is serving to each other. In other words, we serve each other because of the love we have for God and the love we have for each other. And then when we do that, that's what brings about joy.
And that's true. That's why we always have to remember why we're serving, who we're serving,
mm-hmm.
and that we're doing this together. And not so much that this person can pray better than this one or this
mm-hmm.
one can sing better than this one. We all are one, many members of one body with the ultimate goal of following Christ and drawing others to Christ. And how are we going to draw others to Christ if we can't get along ourselves within the church?
Amen.
Absolutely. And so, you know, in this letter, he talks about Timothy and Epaphroditus. These were folks that Paul could rely on, Dr. G, that he could know that if he sends them or if he gives them something to do, that they're going to follow it out. They're going to make sure it's done on time in a timely manner, and he doesn't have to worry about it. And in ministry, you find that a lot of times that goes lacking in people's makeup, is that, you know, They say, well, if I feel like it, I'm going to do it.
They wish you were.
If I get around to it, I'm going to do it. But you have to realize if you're working for in the joy of the Lord that you're not doing it for the leader, because sometimes people focus gets off on, okay, well, I'm serving the leader instead of I'm serving God. And that I'm not doing this for the leader, but I'm doing this for the God that the leader is pointing me to.
That's That's right. And by supporting our leaders, we're supporting God, and that's how we get our blessings. But if we turn our back and say, okay, well, you know what? If I feel like it, God doesn't want us to do it because you feel like it. He wants you to do it because you believe in him. You believe in one common goal, and you believe that working together, we can all follow Christ and receive the blessings of the Lord. The Lord's not going to bless you if you just, you know, once in a while say, okay, Pastor, I'll be there. But, you know, the more we support the leadership of the church, the more we support Christ. We're supporting the goal of Christ. So it's not about us. It's about
not
God.
At all.
It's just about God. It's about one purpose. It's about worshiping the Lord, drawing others to the same protection so they can be saved also.
Exactly. And when you look at what Paul is bringing out to us who are reading what the record says, he's bringing out is that, hey, I'm in prison. You know, I'm in a place right now where I don't have the freedom, and I need to rely on these fellas to, you know, seriously work in ministry. And I find, Dr. G, that I don't know if there's too many people that are seriously about working in ministry. In other words, you see your leader, and he's or she's constantly, you know, doing battle, constantly standing up, constantly waging war in the spirit realm. And you look around, and a lot of times, it's not just in the United States, it's all over the world, but you see people that won't get involved in the battle. They'll line up with you.
Well, I ain't going to fight with you.
Mm-mm. Lord have mercy. You going out there, and you take that butt whooping. You come back with your lip bust, your eyes swole up. Man, I sure wish I had somebody who would have told me, at least look out.
Come on. Come
but
on.
You know, there's a lot of people that give lip service and not really serve 100% with their mind, body, and soul. It's lip service. Yeah, I'll be there with you. I'll be there, Pastor. I'll be there. I'm going to come to dial in the Bible study. I'm going to come to Bible study. I'm coming to Sunday school. And you never see him.
And so in this, even this is a loving church, this is the Philippian church that supported him. Paul still had to let them know that in order for the Philippian church to get blessed like they've been blessed, there were some folks in that ministry that Paul was leading that were willing to lay down their lives, even to the point of almost death, so that they could get blessed. And I think that's one of the things that we as Christians have to understand is that everybody can sacrifice.
Amen.
You know, What we have to understand is that when you don't make that effort, what happens is the people that are making the sacrifice, it makes it just that much more harder on them. Dr. G,
you know what the problem is? It's called commitment. The most folks' commitment is shaky at best. They talk a good game, but when it comes to actually putting it up, then that's a different stuff. That's something else. Pop up, and I got to go over here. I'll talk with you when I get back. So the commitment level is shaky at best, and I'm not sure folks fully understand that in this thing called ministry, it's not about us. It's about what God wants for us. And if we step out and do his will, he got everything else covered. He'll give us the rest. He'll give us the time to be alone. He'll take care of the financial. But the commitment level is shaky at best.
And so let's get into what these fellows were doing. I mean, it's really something to see them support their leader when he's in prison, when he's going through a difficult time, trying to maintain minister to these folks in the prison where he's at, trying to talk to them, trying to persuade them, and then also thinking about other things in ministry. And I think that's what I don't think people understand is that when you're in leadership, you're not just focusing on just this one thing.
Right.
You God has engaged you to the point where you're in focusing on 10, 12, 15,
right.
20
right.
things at one time.
Right.
The big picture.
And you're asking someone to just please come and teach a class.
Amen. Come on.
Once a week.
Come on.
For 45 minutes.
All right.
Can you commit to that?
Right.
Sound like a walrus.
Hello. But see, that's going to take time for me, Pastor.
Uh-huh.
Then I have to prepare. And, you know,
right.
so you want me to teach for that 45 minutes, but I got to get into the Word and know what I'm going to teach about, Pastor. And I don't have time for that. My Saturday nights are packed. I'll let you know when I'm ready.
There you go right there. That's it right there. That's it. Oh, my gosh.
We're going to tell the Lord when we're ready.
Amen.
You know, and that's the thing. It's like we want to regulate God. And God may be saying, I want you to do this because you stepping out and starting to teach and starting to get into the Word, you're going to grow.
Mm.
You can't read and study God's Word and not grow.
Amen. Amen. And the thing, Dr. G, you helped me out with this, Dr. G. Pray for me, Dr. G. But when the pastor goes and has to do all those things, then they flip that thing around and say, Pastor trying to do what?
Do it all.
He's so controlling.
He's trying to do it all.
Help me
He's
out.
So
and
controlling.
You know
He's
what,
doing
Doc?
Everything.
I picked up on that early in my ministry, and I promised the Lord that, number one, these folks are not going to kill me because I'm not going to try to do everything. Then they put me in the grave, talk about, oh, Pastor was this. He should have slowed down and blah, blah, that. But Sunday school last year, I asked the volunteers, those that volunteered, everybody got 2 weeks to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched those folks. Some of them complained, I can't teach. But they went home. They had the little Sunday school books marked up, had notes. And I said, now that is what folks have to be.
Great job.
And you have to just tell them this is the way it's going to be. Because if you wait on folks, they will kill you while you're waiting. But then on the other side of that coin, you got some of these leaders, pastors that want to preach every Sunday.
Yeah.
Don't want to let the sons or the daughters preach.
Right.
So they sitting up there head trying to preach on Sunday.
Exactly.
Come on now.
And again, that's the human inserting there because
right.
ego is not insecurity. It's not God. It's not you're not listening to the Lord
right.
saying this is not your pulpit. This
right.
is God's
right.
pulpit.
And that goes back to when Paul was talking about in verse 17, he's saying the joy, you know, that he joys and he wants, in verse 18, he wants them to have joy.
Mm-hmm.
You got to learn to work together. You got to say, we're in this thing together.
Right.
It doesn't make sense for one person to do everything.
Amen.
And you know, if this is God's church and a leader asks you to do something that's really not, you know, strenuous, you know, pray about it and do it.
Amen.
Right.
You know
Amen.
What I'm saying? But it doesn't take you all day, all two, 4 years to pray about
nope.
it.
Nope.
Well, see, what that is they want to pray about
Saul.
It until Saul they Saul. Hear the answer that they want to hear.
Lord,
so every time they pray about it, the Lord says, yes. Like, nope, that's not the answer I want. Let me pray again.
Oh, my goodness.
And think they're going to wear the Lord down. No, what happens is you block your blessings with Saul.
Exactly. And you can see your blessings just get chipped away.
Chipped away.
Chipped away. Your rewards in heaven just
That's
get chipped
right.
away, chipped away.
When you work for the Lord, you just get rewards all over the place. Things come at you that you never expected. And that is because you're working and you're doing God's will and you're being obedient to the Lord. He can't help but bless you. That's what he said he's going to do, and he's not a liar.
And this is what I love. This is let's go to Word in verse 19 and 20. And I love people like this. You I try to be this for my pastors. I try to be verses 19 and 20 for all my pastors and my leaders. Look at verse 19. It says, but I trust in the Lord. This is Paul talking to the church, Philippi. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. In other words, he's saying, I'm sending Timothy because I want to make sure that you're taken care of, and I want to know that you're taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And then in verse 20, he says, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. In other words, he's saying, when I'm sending Timothy, I'm sending someone that's just like me.
Just like me. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That cares for you, mm-hmm. that just looking out for you. This is who I wanted to be to my leader.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
To all my pastors, all my leaders, I wanted to be that this is how they would carry it out. And this is the way Jesus carried it out for God.
Amen.
He said, when you see me, you've seen the Father.
Right.
Right.
So when we're in ministry, we want to carry it out like Jesus would do,
mm-hmm.
what our leader would do. We want to carry it out to the point that our leader, when they send you out there, they know it's going to get taken care
That's
of.
Right.
I wanted, when my pastor, my leader sent me out, I didn't want to have to even think about it. Kason got it.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor C, he got it. He's going to, I don't have to worry about it. He's going to do it just the right way it's supposed to be done. I don't have to worry about how he's going to do it, what he's going to say, if he's going to get there, if he's going to get there on time, if he's going to mess up, if he's going to fumble, he's going to stumble. He's going to go out there. He's going to pray. He's going to have the love of God in him. He's going to do it to represent him, represent me, and represent God.
But you know, Pastor C, that's a beautiful thought, and that's the way I've always been too. But we are in a day and time now that these young leaders behind us just don't think like that. If they go out, and it's about them. You know, they're puffing themselves up. It's about what they can get out of it. And that's not the way it ought to be. I mean, you know, a lot of the leaders are very insecure, number one, and they don't feel comfortable sending the sons and daughters out or the leaders under them. But it's something missing in there. And it has to start within the younger leaders themselves. They got to have a right mindset that they're not working unto themselves.
Right.
But they're working toward. But you want to make the one who is sending you out proud of you.
Yes.
Irregardless of what my pastor did, I always wanted him to be proud. Even now when I go back.
Exactly.
I want him to be proud of what I've become.
Right.
So that's always been my mindset. But we just don't have that type of mindset nowadays.
And look at verse 21. Paul said they didn't have it back then. Look at verse 21. He said, for all seek their what?
Own.
Not the things which are Jesus Christ.
That's where the humility gets lost. When you're humble and you're humble before the Lord, you want to go and do whatever Christ wants you to do. And if you truly trust and believe in your pastor that he is following the Lord, then it's just instinctive.
Mm-hmm.
You just say, okay, I'm doing it unto the Lord. I'm doing it because this is what God. But that has to be the humility in you.
Yes.
So that even if someone does pat you on the back and tell you that you're doing a good job, I'm proud of you, you simply just immediately utter out of your mouth, to God be the glory.
And
to
keep
be the glory.
Amen.
And there's people, and we thank God for people in ministry like Paul, thanking God for Timothy and Epaphroditus. And you don't have to. There's people in everybody's ministry, wherever ministry, where you know that you don't have to worry about it.
Right.
It's gonna be done. It's gonna be taken care of.
Yeah. Right.
That's one less thing that you got to check.
Yeah.
Because you know that if you got 20 boxes to check all week long, you know those two boxes are checked.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry. Those people are beautiful.
Yes, they are.
They are beautiful.
They are. And you can depend on them. And because they're like that, if they're concerned about something and they come to you with that concern, you don't see it as whining.
Right.
You don't see it as bellyaching.
Right.
You see it as them looking out for the ministry versus looking at, oh, you hurt my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not even about that. It's about, you know what, Pastor? The Lord's been speaking to me about something, and I think maybe we should do this, that, and the other.
Exactly.
But because they aren't constantly whining and crying and complaining about every little thing, the Lord will open up your mind and make you receptive to what that person has to say because it is coming from God, not coming from the flesh.
Right.
And then we were speaking on spiritual warfare a couple of weeks ago, but we got to continue. And then what happens is those people get attacked by the folks that are not committed and try to beat them down because they're so faithful.
Amen.
Come on, Dr. G.
Amen. You're right. I mean, that's just the way it goes. You know what? That old thing, what goes around comes around.
Yeah.
I found that I don't have to get mad, upset, retaliate when folk come the wrong way at me. Turn it over to the Lord and let God do it.
That's right.
Because he can fight that battle better than I can. What I try to do is to, once I've calmed down and gone about my little business, come back in the right frame of mind and the spiritual.
Right.
And I continue to love them in the way that God wants me.
Right.
And I found that that is the biggest thing that you can do, and you can disarm folk like that.
That's right. Let Lord handle it.
And so you have to encourage those who are the faithful few
exactly.
to continue to handle it that way, because they'll get discouraged.
Yeah.
And I've been in this situation where trying to follow the Lord, and every time I try, somebody smacking me upside my head, you know. But they're not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
I can find 100 things that I'm doing wrong, but what about the 200 that I'm doing right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Let me. I've got to give my minister of music his flowers. It's Brandon, good example.
Amen.
And I don't want to boost his head too high, but I thank God for his spirit. Now, since he's come, I've turned the music department over to him and my daughter. Don't worry about it.
That's
right. Thank you.
I mean, we just had a meeting, church meeting. I mean, I wish you could have saw his report. He gave a report on each group, what their goals were, what they accomplished. I don't have to worry about that.
You don't have to check that.
Don't
box.
Have to check. But see, I let him know that now if there is something or if the enemy comes, I've got your back.
Exactly.
You got
exactly.
my support.
Exactly.
But unless I tell you you're not going in the right direction,
you
go
got
right
it.
On. And
amen.
That is what we need more.
Oh, it's a blessing.
Right.
And when folk are working together like that,
yes.
you can
it makes
all.
Ministry so much easier.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You can defeat the enemy as soon as it tries to come through the door.
Mm-hmm.
That
will
unity,
shut down. Yeah.
Right. Unity in a church
shut
will
it down.
Shut it down.
Yeah.
And even if the enemy does try to come and nitpick, like you say, because that will happen.
Yeah.
Sometimes brand new people will come in and start nitpicking the ministry that you've been in for 19 years. And it's like, well, wait a minute. I'm trying to figure out why you left the church that you were at in the first place. So don't think you can bring that over here.
Mm-mm.
And that is how you defeat enemy with unity
Amen.
Versus division.
Amen.
And you just love the hell out of people.
Right.
And
it's spiritual warfare.
They'll either get it together and get in line, or they'll go on about their business.
But when those boxes, when you can come in and those boxes are already checked,
I realize
how much relief that is.
It is.
That allows the leader to be able to focus on what God is telling them to do.
Amen.
When you don't got to come in and there's 20 boxes to check and you got to check 10 of them yourself.
Amen.
It's difficult.
It's
I'm just being
real.
It's just difficult. But if you can come in and you only got to check 2 of the 10 or the 20, oh, my gosh. It frees you up to be able to minister the way God wants you to minister.
Right.
But you have to. You have to articulate this to people in Bible study, but people have to come to Bible study to understand.
Right.
This is what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, I'm holding it down here in prison.
Come on.
But I got some folk that I can send to you that are just like me, like-minded, your concern.
Right.
And he said, there are not too many like that. In other words, get the hint, Philippians.
Amen.
Get the hint.
Amen.
There are not too many like-minded. Everybody thinking about their own thing.
That's
come on.
Right. That's right. Because you'll have good people in church, like you said, that will check that box and take care of that, but they're not consistent.
Right.
So when they're on, they're on. And it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
But you got to always check to see, is the light on?
Hello.
Or is the light off?
Come on.
Okay, if the light's on, then that box will say, oh, you know what, the light's not off. Let me go turn it on myself.
Exactly.
<You know>?
Exactly.
Versus, I know that light's on.
Exactly.
And that's spiritual growth, and that's growing within the church, and that's where the devil wants to break things up.
Right.
But if you have good, solid leaders that will just get on and follow what the Lord is saying,
oh my
to
God.
Do, that is such a huge blessing.
Oh, my. It's beautiful. It's like, this is like a breath of fresh air.
Yes.
And like I said, I always wanted to be that. I always wanted to be that for my leader. I always wanted to be that. So that they know Kason got that. He's going to do it the right way.
Right.
And I don't have to worry about it.
Right.
And you know, it's a thing that you try to lead by example, but you at the same time, you still, like Paul is writing to the Philippians, you still have to say, hey, check out, and you're probably going to get some flack about mentioning Brandon.
Oh, yeah.
But Paul mentioned Timothy in Aphrodite.
That's all right.
Didn't he?
Hello.
Yes, he mentioned Timothy.
He called him out by name.
And called him by name.
Amen.
So everybody that won't get wind in their dog, he had to say nothing about Brandon. To the word, Paul mentioned Timothy and Aphrodite.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So back to verse 21. He said, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." Mm. And then he goes in verse 20, he says, "But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the father, he has served with me in the what? In the gospel."
Gospel.
In other words, he served with me. And this is why I'm trying to tell folks. Mm-hmm. If you want to get to know your pastor, you want to know the heart of your pastor,
work with him.
Work.
Come
on, Dr. G. Come on, Dr. G. Come on, Dr. G.
Amen. Instead of you trying to do your own thing out there, work with your pastor. Closely.
Amen.
You want to get to know his heart her heart or know what about her or what they're going through, what's
Amen.
Happening, how they're trying to reach out, what the vision is.
Mm-hmm.
Get in there, get beside them, and work with them.
Right.
And that's how you develop this joy, this relationship.
That's right.
Is working side by side with someone in the trenches of the gospel ministry,
right.
And the bond will become inseparable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the devil will be defeated.
It'll become inseparable.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you have to get in. You have to be taught this stuff. You have to understand. And then once you taught it, you have to apply it.
Right.
It's one thing to listen to it on the radio,
Come
to
on.
Listen to it in the service, to hear it preached. But when you take it and you actually start applying it to your lives and say,
mm-hmm.
"Hey, Timothy, Epaphroditus, Paul said they served with me in this gospel."
Right.
In other words, they were side by side. We were. If the flame was coming, he was saying, "Watch out over there." If the flame was coming over here, I was saying, "Watch out over there."
Right.
We were fighting this thing together.
Because of that bond, they can still fight it with him being in prison.
Right, in bond.
Because it's just that tight, that one knows how the other thinks when it comes to the Lord.
Exactly.
And so they don't necessarily have to be right next to each other,
right.
Because they grew together.
Exactly.
And that's where you get that growing thing. It doesn't just happen overnight.
No.
It's a growth process.
It is. And so you have to, and then what I find is folk get jealous of the bond you got.
Yeah.
I got folk that were jealous of Minister Lindsay and Minister Sykes.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have to check those boxes.
No,
it's
done.
It's done. So someone new comes in, it's like, why are you always treating them and talking to them?
Because he could depend on them.
Because I don't even have to say anything.
No,
they got
happen.
It.
They got it.
And that's what I was just talking to someone that is in charge of a scholarship ministry at her church. And it's really going well. They brought the program up for the high school students. It's really getting popular. And they had like a showcase on this past Sunday.
Right.
And all the older, some of the older members, not necessarily in age,
right.
But members that have been there before that really didn't think about the ministry,
right.
Came and nitpicked things like
one
of the children when they were doing the showcase was stuttering. It's just
Lord
and it's like
mercy.
Instead of elevating and supporting and saying, you know what, you guys really brought this scholarship ministry a far way and you're really helping our children, you're pulling the people that pulled it together aside, thinking about how a child spoke or didn't speak.
Mm-hmm.
And, I told him, I said, that's just church folks.
Amen.
That's just church folk. That's the enemy trying to put you
busy.
Right. Because you have built up that scholarship
right.
ministry.
Exactly.
So and the church folk allow the devil to use them
mm-hmm.
instead of getting in line with the program
mm-hmm.
and saying and everybody glorifying God together.
Mm.
But look what Paul, this verse 22 speaks volumes. If you can't say that you served in ministry next to your pastor like that,
Amen.
Talk to God about it. See how you can come alongside.
Come
right.
on.
And your pastor will, he gets the message. And see, Dr. G, sometimes folks think, well, God speaks to me just like he speaks to the pastor. No, he doesn't.
No,
no he doesn't.
No.
God does things decent and order. That's not his order.
Right. He's going to go
different.
Through the head.
Let me throw this out. When I was coming up with my pastor. In fact, that's how I met my wife. And you saw my pastor. You saw Reverend Gray.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor go out to visit, Reverend Gregory right there.
Yeah.
Pastor over here, I'm right there with him.
Yeah.
We washed cars together.
Yeah.
I took a lot of meals over his house.
Yeah.
I knew him. I knew how he thought.
Right.
But my mind said I wasn't there to try to replace him.
Right.
I was there to be a help to him.
Right.
And through that, I learned I was blessed.
Yeah.
The church was blessed.
Yeah. Right.
And I met old sister girl here.
Amen. Amen. Look at that verse 22. It says, but you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel.
Amen.
Folks don't want to serve nothing.
Nope.
Right. But themselves.
But some DGT at the same time. And so we have to understand this thing is about service. Jesus didn't come to minister to those that were saved, but to minister to those that were lost.
That is right. And how are we going to do that if we can't get it together here? We're supposed to be getting here, getting fed, so we can go beyond the church walls and draw others to Christ. That's our mission in life. But no, we just want somebody to pat us on the back because we look good. How we done this? Pat us on the back.
He got it twisted. And he said the greatest.
What can I do to serve? We all need to have the mind of a servant.
As he said, the greatest in the kingdom is going to be the one that serves.
That's right. That's not to be served,
right?
But to serve. And sometimes you need to sacrifice.
And this word servant is a dirty word to a lot of people.
Serve nobody. You got a lot of marriages. Wives don't want to serve the husband. Husbands don't want to serve the wife. No.
It's all about me.
In counseling, you know, in that little part where it talks about the woman obey.
Okay.
Yeah.
They got problems.
We're gonna erase that.
We're gonna take that out. And right. That I have to tell them, well, look, let me explain to you what God is talking.
Right. What he's talking about. Right.
Okay. And then here they come. Well, if the husband do what he's supposed, then I will obey.
But that you know, he's talking and folks, oh Lord, I know Minister Lindsay and Minister Lindsay can catch it now. Well, Brandon,
y'all been talking.
But Paul talked about Timothy.
Hello.
You just sent him to the Word.
That's right.
He talked about him, and look what he says in verse 22, when he says proof. In other words, this is not something we just talking about.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
These folk that's been proving it
right
consistently, where if you say they're not doing, you lying.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is the precedent. This is the evidence.
Right.
So we're not sending you someone that hasn't been proven, that hasn't shown themselves to be committed, to be faithful.
Mm-hmm.
We're sending you someone that has proved himself in the face of in sight of God, and has served with me in ministry. Now, where Paul's saying, you know, these are for real, you know, Christian folks,
mm-hmm.
and you have a lot of them in the church, and you know, we have to let people understand it is, you know. If you see them working consistently in the church, this is what it's about.
Right.
You know, if you have trustees, you have administrators, you have people working consistently in the church, this is what it's about. This is how it's done. In other words, there really isn't an excuse for someone not to do it, because there's proof all through ministry of people that actually do it the right way.
Right.
Now, the question is, Sheila, do you want to do it or not?
Do you want to do it? And that is the thing. That's where you may have to sacrifice what you feel or how you feel.
Right.
But as long as you trust in the Lord, then you should want to do it. If your goal is, I want to do what God wants me to do, if I want to be used by him,
right,
then you'll do it. And you'll do it every time consistently. But if you get in that me thing, like, well, this is, I would, but.
Right.
But we need to get our butts out of the way.
I love that. Get your butts out of the way. But when you look at Paul, okay, he goes in verse 23, he says, him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. And again, you can see the burden of what Paul's going. Let me stop it. He didn't know if he's going to live or not, Dr.
Amen.
G.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
See, ministry, and everyone that tells me that they're called, they come and say, I'm called into the gospel ministry. I ask them, well, are you willing to give your life?
That's right. That's right.
Because it's going to cost you.
That's right. And
it's
that's
a heavy
why
price
you can't
to pay.
Be selfish in your ministry. That's why you can't be one of those pastors that doesn't want anybody else to stand in their pulpit,
mm-hmm.
or that wants to do all 20 things.
Yeah.
As a pastor, you're supposed to be teaching others so that when you are not there,
exactly.
or when you do pass
exactly.
away, God's church will go on. It's not our church.
Exactly.
It's God's church. And God expects you to put these things in line and in place so that when you do give your
it
life
can keep
for
on
Christ,
moving.
God's word will continue. move on.
Amen. And this is what he's saying. He said, here therefore I hope in verse 20 to send presently so soon as I shall see how it will go with him. Therefore, he doesn't know. If he's going to live or die. Let me say that one more time. I think I said it twice. But I'm going to say it three times. He doesn't know if he's going to live or die. All
right.
You don't know what God has in store for what your leader is going through.
Right.
You don't know the burden or the struggle or what he sees.
Right.
You know, I often look at the late, great Dr. King. He knew when he was getting ready to be removed from this earthly existence.
Yeah.
He told them, you know. And down through the years, if you look at the Bible, you can see the leaders are telling their folks, hey, I might not be here long with
That's
you.
Right.
You know, but I need you to carry on and do this. And so when you have that sense of urgency, and I think Dr. G, I don't know if we have that sense of urgency that we're standing in the gap between life and death. In other words, someone's going to die today, and someone hasn't ministered to them,
Amen.
And their souls will be lost forever.
Right.
And that's the burden of your leader,
mm-hmm.
to say we're standing in the gap between life and death, and we have to equip, we have to train, we have to get people to understand the seriousness of this gospel ministry that we're working side by side, is that if nobody else is going to tell the good news, it's not going to get told, and somebody's going to die and lose their soul.
That's right. Hello. Amen.
And it's a challenge. Just sitting here thinking, you know, if more leaders get their mindset off of them and also on preparing other people, carry on in that. Because you're right. None of us know how long we're going to live or die. And our jobs as leaders are to prepare other people to be able to preach, teach, carry on the finances, or do whatever we have to do. But, no, our mindset are just not on that.
Yeah, amen. Oh, man, time is getting way forward. We need to go through some whole lines. Matter of fact, let's talk to Brother Brandon. We're going to go to phone lines. Brother Brandon, what do you think about leadership and commitment in leadership?
I think with leadership and commitment, it always starts at the top. I mean, I kind of, for lack of a better word, I always look at the church as almost like a business or like a Fortune 500 company, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Like the products you put out or the representation you have with your staff, or in this case being your congregation, is all reflective of the leadership. If there's chaos at the bottom and things aren't going well, then it always starts at the top. You know what I'm saying? They set the precedents, whatever the employees see how management is handling things,
mm-hmm.
that's going to be kind of a reflection of how the overall company is viewed. Because, you know, one thing, you know, I always tell pastor, when we go out, you know, we're extremely serious because we know they're not going to say, oh, it was messing up, or the choir was singing well. It's going to be like, oh, it's New Birth.
Right,
they're going to remember
that
company or that church. So I think the main thing with commitment is that, as Sister Gregory touched on, you can talk all day long, but at the end of the day, if you're not happy with the results, you need to kind of self-reflect and realize what commitment or what level of commitment am I putting into the product? Because at the end of the day, you can't do the same thing and expect a different result.
I
think
if
you want to achieve certain things and hit certain milestones and do certain things as a church or even as an individual, it starts with commitment. You know, it spreads. If somebody sees you're committed putting in the effort, then somebody else will do the same thing as well. So I think that can kind of make or break a church or any kind of positive situation,
right.
if you have the few who are committed and then you have the majority who aren't really committed or passionate about, you know, holding up their end of the bargain or doing whatever
mm-hmm.
it is that they need to do.
Amen. Amen. We can go to the phone lines and see what some folks, this has helped them or what they might have a comment on what we've talked about tonight. We're going to go to 5904. 5904, you're on the air. Hello? 5904. Yeah.
Hello? Am I on the line?
Yes, you are.
Okay. I'm calling because I just started, you know, at 8 o'clock, and I didn't catch the chapter that you all was referring to in the Bible for Bible study tonight. Can you please share that information with me so I can follow along?
Yes, it's Philippians, the second chapter, and we start at verse 17, and we're down at verse 22.
All right. Thank you, and have a blessed
All right.
night.
All right, you too. Wow. All right, let's go to 2843. 2843, you're on there. 2843. Be listening in. Let's go to 4193. 4193, you're on there. Hello. All right, you're listening. Let's go down to 6848. 6848, you're on air. Hello, 6848. Now, a lot of people listening in tonight. We're going to go to 8418, you're on air. Hello? I wonder if we have a problem with me getting through to this. We're going to try 7971 here. 7971, you're on the air. 7971. I think we might be having a issue with hearing their audio coming back. So we're having some technical difficulties. Probably one end, but obviously, we have some technical difficulties. But I want to get back, Sheila G., Dr. G., to, again, Paul talking about the leaders of how he is really looking to them to assist in ministry and how important it is because, again, he doesn't know whether he's going to live or he's going to die. And he is in verse 24, he's saying, "But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly." So he said, I don't know if I'm going to make it, but I'm trusting God. And he's behaving in a way, and this is where faith comes. And you're behaving in a way that you believe that you're going to be able to do something, even though the circumstances look like you might not. Now, that's faith.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is what your leaders are saying, that it's going to be all right,
mm-hmm.
even if it doesn't look like it's going to be all
right. Right.
Mm-hmm. So Paul was saying, don't, and again, he's in prison. He doesn't know what's going on, but he's saying, don't worry about me.
Don't worry about me.
Because I'm trusting God, and it's going to be all right.
God's will.
And you know, that was like the Hebrew brothers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego,
mm-hmm.
when they said, well, even, you know, if God doesn't deliver us out of this fiery furnace, I know he's able.
Right, that's right.
So in other words, God's got it either way it goes. And so this is what Paul is saying. He's saying, either way it goes, God's got it. And when you have leadership like that, and when you have people that come along leadership like that, you have a powerful force for God.
Powerful. And that goes back. That's why Pastor says that when things are not going right, or people are shooting the darts at you,
mm-hmm.
or they're not committed or things like that, you don't have to fuss about it.
No.
You just take it. If you have that much faith and trust in the Lord, you
right.
just take it to the Lord. You say, Lord, I am not even going to try to deal with it.
Exactly.
You handle it.
Exactly.
And that's the kind of faith, and that's kind of the trust in the Lord that he's talking about.
Exactly. He's saying, hey, you know, I might not get there with you, but I know God's going to take care of it no matter
right.
what your situation
that's
is.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And so then he goes on. And in verse 25, he said, "I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus." And as there, he's talking about another co-laborer. So when don't get it twisted when folk mention people by name
mm-hmm.
about what they're doing in ministry, because
right.
the proof is
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Now, if he's talking about someone that ain't got no proof, that's
different.
But you got the proof that's there. And mm-hmm. so he's talking about Epaphroditus. He said, "Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor." Dr. G, tell me about labor.
Somebody's going to work with you. Folks are going to work. Not just sit back and talk. Workers.
Not nitpickers.
Amen. Workers.
They criticize what everybody else is doing, but they're sitting on their
workers.
Do not.
Workers.
Dr. G, is he still workers. Saying it? Workers. Labor takes what? Work.
Work.
Amen.
Work for the Lord.
Amen. Now, we're not just making stuff up out the
nope.
sky.
No.
I'm glad Sister Carlin wanted to know what chapter we're in. This is
right.
Philippians chapter 2,
mm-hmm.
verse 25. I'm going to read it one more again, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in what?
Labor. Yes, he worked side by side, sending them out to do, continue to do the work of the Lord, to continue to labor in the Lord.
And then I'm going to run around the parking lot here. He said, and fellow what?
Soldier.
I don't know what your Bible, you might have a different translation. I'm reading from the Authorized King James Version. Some people say that's old dated. But he said, fellow what?
Soldier.
In other words, a soldier, a laborer is somebody that's your brother in Christ.
That's right. Working.
Standing shoulder to shoulder.
Amen. Fighting the enemy.
Doing battle with the bloodstained banner
that's
hung up
right.
in the air.
That's Amen. Right.
Dr. G.
Amen. You're right. Somebody who's gonna fight you, fight that battle with you. Not in front of you, not in back of you, but with you.
And Paul just laid it out there.
Amen.
Some folk might get their feelings hurt. Paul just laid it out
yeah.
there. He said, this thing is about labor. This thing is about fellowship together, fellow soldiers. This thing is about advancing the kingdom of God.
So,
common goal. In time for you to have your feelings on your sleeve.
Amen.
Y'all going to have to catch me because I'm going to run out. Lord have mercy.
It's not time to make it about
because
you.
Because you holding up the bloodstained banner. In other words, you holding up the banner of Christ.
Right.
This thing is about Christ. We need to get together. We need to get into this thing and labor. Paul
yes.
says, I got some fellas that going to go to battle with me.
Amen.
That's right.
Together.
I'm not going to have to worry about them in ministry.
No.
They're going to go to battle with me.
Amen.
They got my back. I got their back.
Right.
These folks are the example
mm-hmm.
of what's going to get ministry done.
That's
right.
right. And that's the key. Get the ministry done. Not you sitting there looking cute, being cute, or doing what you want to do, but doing the work of the Lord together,
Amen.
Advancing Christ beyond the church walls, becoming servants. Servants work, and they work hard.
And look what he said. He says, we're still in verse 20. Fellow soldiers, but your messenger and he that ministered to my want.
Oh,
Lord.
So not only did he with him, walk with him, but in my weakness, he built me up.
Lord have mercy.
Support.
Talk to me. I got to run down the street. Talk
support,
to me.
Because our leaders are human beings. And the enemy will attack.
Amen.
So they need that support
mm-hmm.
to say, that's all right. You can lean on me for a minute. Lean
Come
on me. I got enough faith for both of
mm-hmm.
us until you can stand right back up, brother. And I'm going to lift you up. I'm not going to say, you looking mighty tired and weak. And you were too tired to preach that sermon. You could have done a better job than that. I'm going to say, Lord, Pastor, let me support you. Let me pray with you. Let me understand. You know what? I know you're tired. You preach really hard. You go on home. I'll go visit the sick. I'll go visit the sick today
mm-hmm.
while you rest.
Okay.
Dr. G.
We all need a supporting arm because there are going to be times when we're going to get sick. We're going to get tired.
Sick and tired.
We need to be able to rest on somebody. Didn't Moses have that?
Yes.
And all through the Bible, God gave the leaders a helper. Amen. But they have to be on the same level, the same mindset. Everybody has to understand their job.
Oh, have mercy. We got about 6 minutes. But look what happened to the faithful few. Now, he said in verse 24, he longed. This is Epaphroditus. Said, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that he had heard that he what? Had been sick. So folk in ministry going to get sick.
That's right.
in verse 27, for indeed he was sick nigh unto what?
Death.
But God had mercy on him, not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. In other words, God intervened. But these folks are working hard for the Lord. I know you all remember Minister Grover, Jerome Grover.
Yeah.
He's gone now.
Yeah.
And he was like a faithful.
Amen.
Faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Tail always wagging.
Amen.
You know, whenever you see him, he's doing what he wanted. And even when he was sick, he was faithful, more faithful than folk with better health than him.
Amen.
Trusting in the Lord.
And you look at that and you say, you know, well, Epaphroditus was spared and Paul was spared, but some of them don't get spared. Some of them don't get spared, and you'll work them till they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
You'll work them till they're dead. I look at my father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's worked for his pastor for years and years and years.
Yeah.
Just faithful. I call him old the dog, just wag the tail. You know they're going to be on the porch with the tail wagging.
Yep.
Whenever the master walks around, he walking right beside him, tail wagging.
Yep. Yep.
Just faithful.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's about unity.
Unity.
And love.
And love.
And that's what he was trying to always tell the church. We need unity
and love.
That's the strength.
That's what holds the
church
together.
Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And so, you know, this is you know, some people read this and they just blow through it. But look what Paul's actually trying to say to the church. Look what he's saying. He's saying, these folks are what the example. Philippian church, you're awesome. You're great. This is a love letter to you. But this is how you stay awesome and great. This is what it takes. And he's telling the church today, this is what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think it's going to be an easy cakewalk where you don't have to work, you don't have to love,
labor.
You don't have to sacrifice, you don't have to labor.
Amen.
That's a fairy tale pie in the sky.
That's right.
That's right. It's a lie you ever told.
And folk are going to struggle. Folk are going to get weak. Folk are going to get sick. Folk are going to need folk to pray for them.
Amen.
Folk are going to have sorrow and heaviness.
That's
but the joy is still there because you're working for the Lord.
That's right. That's why I do it.
And so he goes down to verse 28. He says, I sent him therefore the more carefully that when you see him again, ye may what?
Rejoice
again. And that I may be less sorrowful. And so this whole thing of being concern for him because he was sick. Paul was so happy to send him that he had got well and that he was well, that they might rejoice also. In other words, when he was sick, they were sick.
Amen.
When he was troubled, they were troubled.
Amen.
It was a whole thing of everyone had that concern one for another,
right?
Because they were in this thing, Sheila G,
together. That's right. In it together. So when you're hurting, I'm hurting. When you're joyful, I'm joyful. I'm not jealous. I'm joyful. When you're doing well and when you're being blessed, I see it as one of my blessings.
Amen.
I'm not jealous. I'm joyful.
Exactly. Exactly. When you're doing good, I'm the biggest cheerleader.
Right. Right there with you. Because we are in this thing together.
Dr. G.
You know, I was sitting and thinking, it's a shame that we can't be church. That's the way you're saying it. One is blessed.
We're all blessed.
And if you see the pastor down, that's the time that we all are
to
come
pray
together and be in prayer with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not about no one individual.
No,
but the leader is a big part of either what's going to help the church or bring it down.
Mm-hmm.
And it can go both ways.
So again, in verse 29, it says, receive him, therefore, in the Lord, all gladness, and hold such in reputation. In other words, you know, there should be joy, and you should understand that this person has labored mightily, and God has continued to bless, and God has continued to bless you, and that you should rejoice, and that you should hold this in high reputation. In other words, this would be something that you should really be thankful to God of what happened, that God has a reputation of taking care of his leaders and holding them together and delivering them, those that work hard for him. And in verse, we're going to finish up with this, in verse 30 he says, why? Why should we hold him in such high reputation, Sheila G? Why should we receive him with gladness, Dr. G? In verse 30, he goes on, he says, and he finishes in this thought in this letter, he says, because for the work of Christ, he was what? Nigh unto death. Not regarding his life, to do what? To supply your lack of service. I don't know what else to say behind that. I think that sums it up.
That sums it up.
He said the brother was nigh unto death. Because the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his own life,
right,
to supply your lack of service toward me. In other words, he was doing his part and your part.
That's just how much faith he
has. Lord Jesus, we're going to have to come back to this. This thing is something else. Dr. G, you get your final comments and close us out, please.
Well, we honor God. It's, you know, that whole thing of, trying to do what the order is. Ultimately, the whole church is blessed. But that part in it, talking about joy, you see your leaders working that fashion, God is getting the glory, but somebody is receiving the blessing. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Can we bow our heads? Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, O Lord. We thank you this day, Lord. We thank you for this evening that you've given unto us. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to, again, get into the word, to understand it, to digest it, to read it. Lord, we pray now that we have a better understanding of what leadership is all about, and those who are following us, we have to train them in the way
that they should
go. And Lord, we pray for those that are following after us. Oh Lord, I pray that you put give them a mind that is humble enough to receive your instruction. Lord, we pray now that churches everywhere would come together and be about love and unity and not so much competing one with the other. Lord, we praise you tonight. Lord, we ask that you continue to bless all of the listeners on the airway. Father, we pray for those that have called in for the first time or the second time. And pray, Lord, that they leave out tonight in a much better way than when they called in. And Lord, we thank you for those that have come out to the studio. Lord, we ask these and all other blessings and favors in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Good night, everyone.